Later this month, Disney's Pixar is going to release a new movie, Coco. And the film is set in Mexico and is about the Day of the Dead. And while Coco was definitely not funded by the U.S. government or made as a propaganda film the way Saludos Amigos was, there are some interesting similarities. Both films premiered first in Latin America. Coco was released in Mexico an entire month before it's going to be released here in the United States. And this is something that I asked co-director Adrian Molina about.
It's kind of a strange experiment. We wanted to have this policy of, you know, think of Mexico first. We really wanted in Mexico to have it release, you know, in time for the celebration in Mexico, because the people know the traditions and they'll be with their families. And for them to be able to experience this in conjunction with the actual celebration felt like it was culturally appropriate. And it was a thank you for all of the warmth and the opening of the doors that we experienced as we were creating this film.
I had many, many people coming up to me, and Adrian had people coming up to him wanting to hug us after the screenings, genuinely appreciative of what we had done.
Lee Unkrich, the director of the film who's known for other popular Pixar movies like Toy Story 3 and Finding Dory, was also at the premiere.
And they were really happy that a company like Pixar would tell a story like that. I get emotional just thinking about that, because I spent a lot of time making the film worried that the Latino community and that people of Mexico would not accept this film and would see it as something made by outsiders.
Lee is not Mexican and he's not Latino, but he wanted to make this movie as authentic as possible. So, just like Walt Disney did decades ago, Lee gathered up his crew and went to Mexico.
I really wanted to embed ourselves, me and my crew who was traveling with me, with families in Mexico. So we went to sometimes some very rural areas outside Oaxaca and other parts of the country. And we would just spend entire days living with families, having them feed us, having them share their traditions of Dia de Muertos. And in some cases, we visited families that had livelihoods that were similar to what we were trying to do in the movie. You know, we have a family in the movie. Our main character, Miguel, is a 12-year-old boy living in a family of shoemakers. So we did visit some shoemakers, and we visited families that had many other trades, making alebrijes, making mezcal, making papel picado, mole. And we would just spend time with them. And as we spent time with them, I tried to really watch the dynamics going on within the families.
So you started thinking about this 6 years ago. How did that happen, where you were like, I want to do a story about the Day of the Dead?
Basically, yes. I had long been interested in Dia de Muertos as an outsider, and I was introduced to it the way many non-Latinos are, through the artwork. And I wanted to learn more. So I started to research and do a lot of investigation. We started to bring in some different cultural experts on the celebration. You know, I was always conscious from the very beginning of this project that, you know, I'm not Latino myself. I knew that this was going to be a huge responsibility on my shoulders to tell this story authentically and respectfully. I mean, I just, from the very beginning, that was paramount. We had a lot of Mexicans and Mexican-Americans on our crew. We also have many other Latino people within the company who we regularly brought in to kind of look at what we were up to with our storytelling. And there was a lot of adjustment along the way as people told their own personal stories about their own abuelas and people within their family. And that slowly shaped the story and slowly brought it to this more truthful place.
And another major step in making this film credible was bringing on Adrian Molina as his co-director of the film.
When I started working on Coco, Adrian really wanted to be a part of it. And he came on very early. And about midway through the process of making the film, we hit some story roadblocks. And one day, Adrian came to me and he handed me script pages that he had written. He had just taken it upon himself to work on the screenplay.
And a lot of that was motivated by the fact that I couldn't go home at night and let this film not exist. You know, sometimes movies get really far and then they don't happen. And on this film, I wanted so badly for it to happen.
And so I read his pages and they were, incredible. I mean, they were as good as any professional screenwriter that I had worked with in the past. And so we gave him the role of screenwriter. He took over screenwriting and held that position all the way till we finished the film. He had become so invaluable to me that I asked him to be my co-director on the film. The fact that he is Latino didn't enter into the decision. It was because he's an incredibly talented guy with a bright future, and I really wanted him to be a part of this film. But the fact that he is Mexican-American brought an incredible richness to the storytelling, and you know, he was able to tap into his own family history and in a way that I don't think the film never would have gotten to the same place had I not been working with a Latino screenwriter.
So much of the deep core of this family story was informed by my own experience. And if there was ever a film that played to my strengths, this would be it.
So what's your relationship to El Día de los Muertos? Did you grow up kind of celebrating it or knowing about it or talking about it? Or was it something that you came to as an older Latino?
Yeah. It was something that I learned about in high school. So my mother is from Jalisco, but it was when I was taking Spanish classes, because I didn't grow up speaking Spanish. I took classes in high school that we would get the lessons on different, you know, cultural events. But the things that I recognized about the culture surrounding death and what your relationship to it is was very similar to what I saw. Every time when I was growing up that someone close to us passed away, we would do the funeral, but then it just became laughter and stories. Everyone recounted the funny times and the crazy things and the quirky things, and that relationship to the idea of someone passing, but not passing, them surviving by the memories we keep of them, was something that was very intuitive to me.
In fact, much of that authenticity in this film comes from Adrian's personal experiences.
There's two spots that I know came from my own experiences. One of them is this idea of Miguel's blessing, and that he needs his family's blessing in order to return home. But the moment was inspired when I was heading off to college to art school, and my parents, after we hugged, they said, we want to give you our blessing before you head off. And, you know, they just said, we pray that you know that we love you and that we support you and all the good things that we could wish for you come your way. I didn't know that that was a feeling that could mean so much until it happened. To hear your parents say, we love you and we support you, and whatever you do in this life, you go with our blessing. The other one is this idea of the final death. You die three deaths. One is when your heart stops beating. One is when you're interred into the ground. And the last and final death is when no one in the living world remembers you. And that's perhaps the most sad and, you know, ultimate of them all.
So let's talk about the music, because obviously music is central to the story of this movie. And was that kind of, from the beginning, was that decided?
Very early on, you know, Miguel wanted to be a musician and his family disapproved. So we knew that earlier than any other Pixar film we'd ever made it, we would need to think of the music. You know, when I started writing, we had one song that we knew was kind of emblematic of so many things in the film, and that was Remember Me.
Remember Me.
That had stuck. That was something that really was in line with the traditions of the celebration and also with the themes of our storytelling. And I really wanted to, as much as we could, lean on Mexican musical style.
Remember me. Though I have to travel far, remember me. Each time you hear a sad guitar.
Now, if after listening to all of this, you're saying to yourself, hold on, I think I've seen a movie just like this before. Well, you're not wrong. In fact, there was another animated film specifically about El Día de los Muertos, and we asked about that. So a couple of years ago, we interviewed the directors of the film Book of Life, which was the first movie that dealt with the Day of the Dead. So were you at all inspired by Book of Life? I mean, There are some similarities.
There are. I'll tell you. I'm actually friends now with Jorge Gutierrez, who directed Book of Life, and he's been a huge supporter of what we're doing.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So there's no fighting going on.
No, zero. We get along very, very well, and we're both supportive of each other's projects. You know, sometimes there's just something in the water, I guess, and two ideas kind of come out in near proximity. I think it happened with Asteroid movies a few years back. At the time that I thought to do this film, one of the things that attracted me was that in the entire history of cinema, I couldn't think of a single film other than an unfinished film by Sergei Eisenstein that had anything to do with Dia de Muertos. So I was very excited that I felt we were doing something unique. So when I found out that Jorge was making his film, my initial thought was one of dismay, I'll admit, because I knew that his film coming out before us would automatically render us, render Coco less original. But once I got past that, you know, I felt that we were telling a good story that was worthy of being in the world. And by and large, we were telling two very, very different stories that happened to both be set against Dia de Muertos.
I mean, for this film, was it, for you, Adrian, was it just about a great story and great visuals? I mean, was there something else that you wanted to make happen with this particular film?
I think it's important. I think it's important beyond the story that's being told. I think it's important for the way in which it represents a culture that is beautiful, but maybe doesn't always get recognized as such. I think it's important because it is a character in Miguel and a family in the Riveras that I think have a lot to show the world, have a lot to teach the world through their experience. And I wanted the world to give them a chance. I wanted them to have the opportunity to do that. So yeah, it's your heart gets wrapped up in all these things.
Adrian Lee, congratulations on your film, and thanks so much for speaking with me.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy that you enjoyed it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, to wrap up our entire show about Disney, I've got Antonia Cerejido back in the studio. So, okay, what's the big takeaway?
Two things have really stuck out to me now that the reporting is done. The first is that I was sort of surprised to realize that Disney used to work with and even for the U.S. government for decades. And the Disney company has very little to do with U.S. government institutions today. In fact, it has nothing to do with U.S. government institutions today. And now that there's this sort of separation, I'm curious whether we could still consider Disney an American company or whether it should be thought of as a global company. And what does that mean?
And there's another point, right?
And the other thing is that Disney, for many kids, is the first time they encounter any kind of story or narrative. And stories and narratives, they instill values and morals. And so these films are literally shaping people's perspectives. And that's why it's really important to understand the context and the history of a company like Disney that's shaping people's lives.
So actually what's going to happen with Coco is kind of exciting. I mean, it could be a real game changer.
It's astounding. I mean, already Coco's become the highest grossing film in Mexico's history. And it hasn't even come out in the U.S., so I'm very curious about how people are going to react to it here.
Great reporting. Thank you, Antonia.
Thank you, Maria.